Voices of the Elephant is proudly sponsored by SiteGround.com, a leader in website hosting and a terrific partner for all your website projects. Their top-notch technologies will make your websites fast and secure.
Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. My name is Cal Evans. I'm your host, and my special guest today is Ms. Amrita Jain. Did I get that right? Oh, good. Well, say hi to everybody so they know that I'm not just talking to myself.
Hi, everyone. It's so good to be here at this podcast, Cal.
Well, I appreciate you taking some time away from your job to give us a few minutes. Hey, the first time I interview anybody, I like to ask them the same question. What's your hero backstory? How did you get into programming?
Oh, wow. That's going to go a little bit far back. So my first interaction with computers itself was my school brought in a bunch of computers, like 5 or 10 computers. And then they started teaching us logo programming, which is like, if you guys remember, like way old, you type in some commands, you see a line draw. So I found as a kid that was really fascinating that I could get something to draw on a screen just by typing certain commands. So that kind of got me a little bit into programming. So I started pursuing in my bachelor's, I started dabbling with PHP. And then I built a website, you know, just selling some of the cool accessories and jewelries, you know, to in my college. And everybody really appreciated it. So this feeling of, you know, you do something and you get it work right away, that was that instant boost of happiness what, you know, pursued me to pursue a career in this field. And, you know, it's both intrinsic and extrinsically, I'm motivated about just helping people, others out, helping myself out in the process.
Very cool. Yeah, I was at a friend's house for a sleepover. And I think I was like 14 years old, and he had an old TRS-80 Model 1, old, you can see one in a museum.
Yeah.
But, and he showed me a program that he'd written, and I knew at that point, this is what I wanted to do. That was so cool because we sat up all night just making it do this and making it do that. And I knew this is what I wanted to do. Well, that's very interesting. Now, you've just started a new job. So we're not going to talk about where you're working right now, although it is the bomb. But you are working on a new project, or you're working on a project, an API wrapper for Swagger, or API to Swagger wrapper?
Yeah, so at my on my side, I like to experiment with different technologies, and I'm big into APIs and building, you know, APIs with a good API design, making sure we follow right principles and build awesome APIs for everybody to use. So I started looking into GraphQL and Swagger, and I found that GraphQL was very, you have to code in every schema, which was very manual work that developers have to do. So I started looking into how can we make it a little bit more dynamic. And I came across Swagger, OpenSpec API, which is gaining a lot of popularity. Mm-hmm. And I had just this idea to connect these two. So I built a wrapper where you can define your API definitions using Swagger, which everybody should. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, we can hold that for next time. But using that, it would automatically generate GraphQL schemas for you. So you can technically just define a Swagger and it will create a GraphQL API on top of that. And I use that as an example to just dabble a little bit into serverless, trying and understanding new technologies. So this is that was a fun project that I worked on at the site, trying to learn 3 different new technologies and integrating them to work together.
Very cool. Now, when you say it will generate your API, will it actually generate the PHP code for you, the skeleton code, and then you go in and flesh it out? Or what does it actually generate?
What it does is behind the scenes, it's going to create an endpoint for your API using the serverless architecture, and then it's going to translate your data, the model, in real time and make a call to the backend. So so you don't need to generate new code. You could technically just convert the API definitions into a schema on runtime.
Wow, that is very cool. Now, is this a project, is it available as open source? Do you get it up on GitHub, or is it something you're working on to create a product out of?
I think I have a version on GitHub. Yeah, mm-hmm. I can definitely share that.
Well, we'll throw a link in the show notes. If you'll send me the link to it, we'll throw a link in the show notes so that our audience can share in that.
Absolutely.
Now it's time for you to be a game changer with the RingCentral Developers Game Changer Program. Grow your skills, help others in the community, and get rewarded with awesome prizes like RingCentral swag, conference tickets, software, iPads, computers, and so much more. Don't just be a developer, be a game changer and join the program today. For more information, visit developers.ringcentral.com. Of course, you and I believe we met at Sunshine. I know we were both at Sunshine. I thought we met, but I spent the entire last day trying to find you. I thought you had gone, because a lot of speakers leave after their talk. But so we have run into each other. But you and I share a passion, and that is home automation. Now, we approach it very differently. I am very much I've got my Raspberry Pi sitting here, and I've got things, I've got an already pre-built system running on this, and I'm just implementing. You, on the other hand, are building it from scratch, and that's fascinating to me. Talk to us a little bit about what you've got working so far.
Yeah, so I started with Arduino board, and that was one of the first things I started a couple of years back. I started small, following their tutorial. So I built a small temperature sensor. So using a sensor, it would connect to my Arduino board and just tell me if the temperature is due. Like a thermostat, which we have pretty much all today, but a couple of years ago, it was not that popular. So it would just send in once given the temperature is too big, So given that the temperature was high or low, I would just get a notification on my phone saying, okay, your temperature is too low or temperature is too high. Just something simple, something fun. And then I started dabbling into Alexa, and we already have a lot of integration hardware already built in. So I was trying to hook up my TV volume with Alexa that I could just, raise the TV volume up and down just by calling out a command rather than going to a remote, finding it and pressing it. So these are some things I've been working on. A funny story that happened was I forgot to put a threshold on my computer, on the Alexa command. So, and there was a little bit of lag. So I said, increase volume three times. And it just increased it with I would add the delta every time. So it became so loud that my speaker just blew out. I pretty much got a tetanus. My ears were still ringing after that.
Now, what are you using on the server side for this? Are you using JavaScript, or are you actually doing the serverless with that? I forget what they call them on AWS.
Yeah, so it's using Node.js. I think that was one of the first SDKs they came out with. Now they have pretty much available in every language possible. Yeah. So they are trying to, I started with JavaScript, Node.js, and running it on serverless. Pretty simplistic setup, but I'm also trying to work on some sort of framework, because I feel there are so many different common things that are coming up that everybody does, but SDK offers only certain capabilities. So I think that's another area I'm probably thinking about writing some sort of framework for that.
That'd be fascinating. I tried I actually wrote an Alexa skill. I never published it, but I wrote one to play this podcast. And one of the things I learned was that there was one PHP library out there that would let you do this, but it was it was just basically mirroring the API's function calls. So there wasn't a lot of, it wasn't helping me a lot. It was just giving me wrappers for those function calls. And I still had to do a lot of this myself. Of course, I was not using the serverless. I was actually hosting the service or hosting an API endpoint and playing my podcast from that. And, but it worked very well. I mean, Alexa was, once I understood the mindset, it was very interesting to work with. I don't know that I ever want to do that again, but I can't say I've written one. So.
Yeah, it's a whole different way of thinking about, you know, our customers or whoever's using, like, how do you interact using voice? What is the good way? How do you pronounce everything? So it puts you in a very different mindset of user interaction, which I think it's pretty unique that comes with these devices.
And it brings up a lot of interesting concepts that I normally do not think of. Like I told you, for home automation, I use a system called OpenHAB, and OpenHAB has an Alexa skill. So I can say, Alexa, turn on these lights, turn on those lights, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But, and I got it working and it was working just fine. But the, I'm sorry, I'm stumbling because I actually triggered my Amazon Echo in the other room. But it works just fine for me, but I'm reading the community forums and they're going, okay, well, when are you going to have a Spanish language version or a German language version, all these others? And I never thought about that. I'm like, well, yeah, I guess you do have to program it for each variation, not just this is the word and Alexa knows how to translate it.
Yeah, definitely. That's true. And not just, that's true. And then also you have to think about all the error case scenarios. So normally when we are developing, you know, it's easier to just work on the best path cases, happy cases, and just get things working. Mm-hmm. But with voice interaction, you would find that doesn't often go that way. So it kind of forces you to think about the error cases. How would you handle when either the consumer or the device doesn't understand the word. So this is a very unique aspect around that as well.
Yeah, I found it interesting that there were a finite number of cases, but I had to handle them all. I had to handle every error condition. Mm-hmm. Amazon didn't give me a freebie and say, oh, we'll deal with this. If there's an error, it was up to my code to handle it. And that, yeah, you're right. You know, on the web, we deal with the happy path and maybe a few exceptions. Maybe, but a lot of the time we're like, you know, my code doesn't have bugs.
I mean, in general, like if you're working on a hobby project, you wouldn't necessarily go and code. For a profession, you would definitely have to. But even for a hobby project here, you have to. So.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us here on Voices of the Elephant. I know that you're very busy and it was very nice of you to take a few minutes to talk to us and to introduce yourself. And for everybody out there listening, thank you for spending some time with us. I hope you have found this to be an informative way to use your time. And we'll see you next time right here on Voices of the Elephant.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT.